Chapter 28. The small chapel was at the back of the main church. On Wednesdays, Duane offered Mass for a small but reliable group. Celeste had been an occasional participant with the group before Mandy died. Now she was a regular. There were only 8 of them, but Duane was good at offering a streamlined service, and then they could all talk. They met at what would be normally dinner time. Debbie Insalade and her husband Jonas came regularly. They were met by Herman Pierce and Martha Haggerty, Josephine Montgomery, and Sylvia Bonami were the most recent additions to the group. Since Mandy's death, Duane had been inundated with more food than he could eat if he were 5 men. The ladies of the church were very solicitous about his well-being, to the point of a daily smothering him in offers to clean his house, do his laundry, bring more food, tend to Mandy's duties by hosting the events that she hosted. Duane was withdrawing from it all. In second grade, Mandy had passed Duane a note in school. It read, "I like you." They had been boyfriend and girlfriend since. There had never been a time for Duane where there was no Mandy. He did not even want to get out of bed in the morning, and he was sure he did not want to dream up some message of hope on Sundays. The congregation stepped up. Patricia Tallman contacted fellow clergy people, and they covered Duane's Sunday masses. Other priests offered to make his visits to the sick. Celeste listened in confidence to his doubts and fears that he had lost his faith. Wednesday service was the one function that she urged him to continue to perform, and Duane said that he would try. Instead of a homily, Celeste and the others there had short discussions about how they felt. Today's liturgy was about the promise of Jesus. Herman read, "Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Celeste could not help but look to Duane, who was shaking his head back and forth. "It's hard for me to know what to say right now," he continued. "I know that Mandy would want me to be grateful to each and every one who's trying to help me, and I'm trying to do that." He put his head down. Tears were brimming his eyes. Celeste knew what he was thinking. "If you could all just let me alone to let me grieve." But he could not say that. After the service, Josephine and Sylvia crowded too close to Duane to see if he was all right. Celeste could have sworn that she saw Josephine literally stick her chest onto his arm. Celeste felt more than a little disdain for both women. Duane just wanted it to be over. When Celeste signaled that she was leaving, Duane used her exit to make a break. "Can you give me those pamphlets that you have in your car, Celeste?" Celeste said that she could, and they walked to the car. Duane had begun smoking again. He lit a cigarette when they reached her car. "Can you give me something that I can just carry away?" he asked. All Celeste had was a stack of the library's audio books, but she gave him half of them. I know that you don't believe me right now, and you may feel like you're doing a half-assed job, but you have to stay busy. Dwayne looked her full in the face. I have absolutely no idea where to go or what to do.